Have you ever wondered if it's possible to feel included as a valuable member of your company, even when you're working remotely? Well, today on Building Remote Teams, we talk to Dan Mannion, CEO of Donut.com, where he'll share what he's learned on building strong relationships at work, even if you don't live in the same continent. Stay tuned. As you know, Building Remote Teams is a brand new podcast. And to celebrate our launch, we have some really awesome discounts to give you from some of our favorite tools for remote teams. We have discount tools for 1Password, Donut, Hey Taco, Carrot, Birthday Bot, Karma Bot, and a ton more. All you need to do is to go to buildingremoteteams.com and subscribe with your email. You'll get a link to the page with all of the recommended tools and discounts that I mentioned above. Now, on to the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Building Remote Teams podcast. I'm here with Dan Mannion from Donut. Dan, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm doing really well.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, my pleasure. I was telling you before the show, so you know everyone, I've used Donut myself on my own teams. I've had a blast. And I was talking to a guy at a co-working space yesterday, and he says, yeah, we use Donut all the time. So sounds like you've got quite a few people that actually are using it, Dan. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, we're really excited. We've got thousands of organizations that use it and have made well over a million connections. We're super excited about all the folks that are using it and connecting, and love hearing stories from people that have met someone new and developed a relationship with them because of it.
Wow, a million introductions. Okay, so tell me a little bit about, you know, what is Donut, or maybe you want to get to the history of kind of what spurred it on to bring it to today and all the way having over a million introductions.
Yeah. So we started Donut with a pretty broad mission, which is to help organizations really build and develop and scale their company culture. And there's a lot of ingredients that goes into building great culture. But when we went out and started to talk with folks, it became pretty clear that one of those really key ingredients is building human connection between everybody at an organization. We, from pretty early on, decided that would be a key component of what we're building into, and developed a Slack integration that makes it really, really easy to set up any sort of roulette introduction program at your company. So it can be a coffee roulette, it could be lunch groups, it could be remote folks meeting for a video call to meet someone you've never met before who works at your company.
So when you say roulette, you're referring to that famous chat roulette platform. Is that what you mean by roulette? Is that where you're getting that term from?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
When we started the company, we saw a number of companies hitting this tipping point in terms of size threshold, where they sort of reached the size where we no longer know everybody's name. We no longer know what everybody's doing at our company. And we kind of missed the good old days. And when companies were hitting that point, we actually saw tons of internal hackathon projects, you know, to build a little sort of, people often called them coffee roulette, which is, you know, meet a random person at the organization and go get coffee with them. So we actually, I think they borrowed the roulette term from chat roulette, and we kind of borrowed the term from all the hackathon projects and kind of manual ways we saw people running like coffee or lunch roulette programs within organizations.
Neat. Okay. I have never heard of that term apart from when you said it, or when I was talking about Donut to people, they're like, oh, it sounds like chat roulette for meeting random people in your company. And it sounds like, you know, there's something to that in terms of what you guys are focused on.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right. So when I talk to people about it, they're like, why is it important to actually meet other people in your company? Whether you're working in a single office where everyone comes in from 9 to 5 or remote, like, why is it actually important?
Yeah. So there's actually a pretty big body of research around how important a sense of belonging and actually just literally having friends at work is to both happiness and productivity. Google actually did some research on this and found that their most productive employees actually built larger networks simply by rotating who they ate with in the, you know, Google cafeterias.
Really?
Yeah. So there's actually quite a bit of research from people like Google and, you know, Harvard Business Review and all that sort of stuff, academic research showing that connections, and actually there was one study that said the difference in even having friends and having a best friend at work makes a difference, that having a best friend kind of makes your connection to the company, which, you know, from a company standpoint, boosts productivity and retention. From an employee standpoint, boosts happiness. So all these things, even though it sort of sounds fun and social, which it is, there are some extremely tangible benefits to having a more connected culture. And then the other thing, and we've seen this happen time and again with our customers, is as organizations get larger and you start having teams that are big building the same thing, you can actually uncover opportunities or efficiencies by getting people to connect who didn't know each other but are actually working on the same thing. We actually had a story from a donut user at IBM where donut paired two people and they met and realized they were working on the same larger project. And as a result of the donut meeting, put together a presentation combining their two pieces for the broader team. And it was a big hit in terms of actually connecting some of the dots.
Wow. So it's such a, yeah, that's incredible. I think that's published on your website because I remember seeing that somewhere. Is that right?
Yeah. There's a little case study on that story, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. When we implemented it, like for different personalities, I'm wondering, is it easier for people to be willing to do that? I'm pretty extroverted, so I'm happy to connect for a coffee with anyone all day, every day. But I noticed some people on the team when we implemented on the road team who are a bit more introverted, right? Maybe kind of developer mentality, which I guess is not all to say, you know, he was pretty introverted. He's like, why do I want to do this? Why would I want to meet with someone on the marketing team? You know, I've got friends already. You know, what would you say to someone like that or to someone maybe who has a different personality and less willing to kind of meet new people and don't see the value in that?
Yeah. I mean, we definitely have, you know, I've talked to donut users who are definitely extroverts like yourself, but we do have a lot of introverts that use the platform as well. And I've actually had them literally say to me, I love donut because otherwise I wouldn't meet anybody because I'm an introvert. And donut takes the emotional work out of connecting with someone because we literally just open up a Slack DM for you to start talking and you know, put you with someone. So what I usually say to introverts that may be a little more reticent to try it is, you know, the way donut works is you join a channel that might be called, you know, meet new friends, or, you know, we have lots of donut pun channel names across our customers, like donut be strangers. You know, nice. Yeah, it's pretty fun. But, you know, what I would usually say is join the channel, like get one intro, maybe two or three, and see how it goes. If it doesn't go well, you can leave the channel. Like, this isn't a lifelong commitment to meeting new people. You can see whether it's for you. And look, frankly, there are most companies, not every single person is doing it. We actually learned that it is much better to run a program like this as an opt-in versus an opt-out. So let the early adopters in an organization get it going and make it a really great program. And frankly, other people are going to want to do it once they start hearing about it and it gains some momentum. There's definitely a few things we've learned about helping, you know, how an organization can help get a program like this to gain momentum. I mentioned that there's a dedicated channel for it. And one of the things that some of our customers do is when two folks meet, they actually take a selfie together and then repost that in the donut channel.
Cute.
What they end up with is this channel that is just a stream of selfies of people getting to know each other. You know, people react to them, obviously. Sometimes folks will share a one-liner on, you know, something interesting they learned about someone or their pet or their kids. At Donut, we actually have a little vote emoji reaction and we vote on the selfie of the week. So, you know, we're still a relatively small team, so we use Donut religiously and it kind of makes it fun that we're kind of always trying to one-up each other on the coolest selfie.
Yeah, okay. That sounds pretty good.
We've been surprised at how many companies take it literally and go eat donuts when Donut makes their intro. There's some companies like that's what they do. They go eat donuts on their donut meetings.
Yeah, I think it's a great excuse. I mean, otherwise, apart from stereotypical cops with its coffee and a donut, right? It's rare that I'll say, hey, man, you want to go get a donut with me? But I guess with this, it could be really, yeah. It could be a great excuse. Yeah, this is amazing. I mean, okay, so people, if you haven't tried Donut, I mean, if this resonates with you, take a look. I don't want it to be, it's not intended to be a sales pitch for Donut, but I think it just a lot of, Dan, what you're talking about in terms of what you're trying to solve, I think resonates with people who maybe work from home or work in a small office, and they just, it's just hard to be able to, you know, develop those relationships at work. One of the criticisms for remote work is how relationships, when you're in the same office, just kind of naturally develop, right? You're like, hey, man, you want to get lunch with me? Or, you know, hey, Susie, do you want to go, you know, I'm going to get a coffee. Do you want one? And then they just kind of naturally hang out for a bit, or, you know, check out this cool YouTube video. And so these relationships I've found, you know, being in the office. And so people say like, well, if with remote work, like people just won't be as close and be able to have these kind of water cooler moments where of this serendipity of just talking about, you know, your parts of your life and parts of what you're thinking about, and other people make that realization, kind of what those IBM individuals had done. So is it really possible to kind of have that same sense of belonging and same deep relationships, like when you're not working in the same office as an individual?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes, but I do think it takes being more deliberate and more work. So when you're sitting in the same room, you can kind of, on autopilot, that just starts to happen, right? Because of the water cooler, what you're talking about. Mm. When you're remote, if you don't do anything about it, it's you sitting in your room, right? So I absolutely think it's possible, but you need to start getting more deliberate and putting more effort into it earlier on. That's another one of the interesting patterns we've seen, is that the sort of company size thresholds for when Donut starts becoming an interesting tool to use is often lower if it's a fully distributed or remote company. And that's because if you're a 10-person company and you're all in the same office, you know each other. Mm-hmm. Not until you might start hitting, okay, 30, you probably still know each other, like 50, maybe 100. Okay, probably don't know everybody anymore. So then it gets, whereas if you're a remote team, you get 10 people, you might not actually, you get to 15 even, you might not know everybody in your company. If you're on the engineering team and somebody else is on the sales team, you might have never seen them at a much smaller size. Mm. So I think some of the kind of best practices around maintaining human connection that actually does start to matter for every company when you hit a certain scale matter almost instantaneously if you're a remote or distributed team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the two different kinds of individuals in the company. Maybe one who's the leader, you know, for this company of 20 or 50 people, like a CEO, and you're like, I want to build culture, right? The word that you opened with. And you've got the individual who's sitting alone at home, the marketer, the software developer. And you mentioned, you know, being maybe more deliberate about how to develop those relationships. Can you give us some, you know, some ideas that you have for, let's start for the CEO, where you're like, I want to foster better relationships within my team. I've installed Donut. It's going great. You know, what else can they do?
So some level, a hybrid team is actually maybe the biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. Because you have some asymmetry in the relationships.
What does that mean?
If you have a fully remote team, every meeting is in a Zoom. Like you're all calling in. You're all, it's a level playing field. You're all disadvantaged in the same way. If you've got a hybrid team and you're having a meeting with four people in a conference room, and then you're the one person dialing in, there's asymmetry in terms of how, you know, voices are heard and how easy it is to jump in and say something. I've even heard of companies that have a rule that if one person is dialing in, everybody does the meeting from their desk and dials in.
Wow. That's extreme. I like that.
That's pretty extreme. It's very extreme, but it makes everybody equal. Hmm. So I think, you know, there's probably things you can do that are less extreme that are still helpful, mm-hmm. like being really mindful of the person that's not in the room and giving them opportunities to jump in. But back to connecting, and if, you know, recommendations for how to, what other things to do, we've seen remote teams try to, in addition to doing kind of one-on-one donut meetings, we've talked to some companies that do remote happy hours. Everybody logs in to a video call at the same time on, you know, Friday afternoon and chit chats. In those cases, it's unlike a regular, you know, an in-person happy hour where you can kind of just show up and you'll figure it out. It might make sense to have someone that's a little bit more of a leader and, you know, welcomes everybody and sets agenda and tone a little bit. We've seen that even with just one-on-one meetups, it's often helpful if whoever has rolled out the donut program, that there is some explicit expectation about what happens on calls. Mm-hmm. And it could be the expectation is whatever you do, don't talk about work, learn about each other.
Nice.
It could be an icebreaker question, or it could be, we're trying to, you know, figure some business challenge out and like the two of you brainstorm. Mm-hmm. So we've seen a full spectrum of, we've even had companies use Donut as a way to pair engineers for pair programming. So there's all sorts of use cases that you can come up with and that our customers have come up with around how to connect people and what to prompt them to do. But I actually think especially if folks are dialing into a call or a video call, it's even more important to have a little bit of a prompt or an expectation. Otherwise, it can be a little bit of kind of what do we talk about?
It sounds like there has to just be some process coming from higher up in the team just to find reasons for people to work together, right? When maybe there's not an explicit problem, but as you said, maybe it's just two developers that start pair programming together just for the sake of them having interaction.
Right, right. I will say one of the other things that's been really interesting is, as you mentioned, coming from higher up. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it comes from an executive. Sometimes it comes from a people team. But we have lots of examples where some random product designer says, this is cool, we should try this, and adds it to their Slack team, makes a channel, invites some people, and it's a very organic thing. So that's also been an interesting thing to see. It can really happen both ways, where it's, you know, really a company initiative, but it can also happen in ways that are a little bit more organic. And then what is also interesting to watch happen is when you create your donut channel, maybe your first one is, you know, Donut Worry, Make New Friends. Once people understand the mechanism and the value, as organizations grow, we actually start seeing people create additional channels. And the purpose of that could be, if you're distributed, it could be by time zone. You know, it's nice to connect with anybody, but sometimes people might make a, you know, America's donut channel, so it's easier to coordinate. We see it all the time by team or by interest group. So if you're a big enough organization that your engineering team is so big that it makes sense to get engineers connecting with each other, we've seen engineering donut channels. We've even seen some really interesting kind of cross sections. Slack is one of our customers, and they have a channel that connects anybody that writes at Slack. Hmm. So it could be somebody on the support team or the marketing team, or, you know, at a company that big, there's so many people writing.
Oh yeah.
But they're in totally different functions. And, you know, that kind of goes back to that IBM story. Like, you know, they're not working on the same project, but they're all writing in the Slack voice, right? So connecting those people totally makes sense.
I would imagine there'd be some pushback as that, at least when you're initially talking about, you know, what your mission is, which is very simple, of just connecting people to, you know, help create relationships and create the serendipity. You know, there's got to be some pushback that leaders or, you know, companies be like, what? I'm giving half an hour for each of my employees, you know, every week to just sit and have a donut with each other and what, watch YouTube videos? Like, they've got to push back to you on this. Or do you find that people are like, oh yeah, sure, it's always a great idea?
To be honest, I can't think of an example where I'm aware of the pushback.
Okay.
On the contrary, we have tons of customers that will reimburse the coffee that the two people that go get.
That's cool.
So it's actually on some of the other way around, you know, that they're financially incentivizing people to go do it.
Sure. That makes sense. What about the developer or the marketer who's sitting at home, right, for 5 days a week, and they're not really feeling connected to the company at all? And they're like, they listen to this podcast and like, yeah, man, like I wish we would do this as a team. And maybe they talk about the idea of Donut but let's say they don't install it. You know, what are some other ways that they can try to take initiative to feel more connected to the company?
Yeah. One cool thing that we learned from Envision, who uses Donut, but also does a million other really innovative things around remote work, because they're, I think, probably getting close to 1,000 employees and everybody works from home. One of the things that they do is, you know, if they're discussing something in Slack, they have a pretty quick trigger to say, you know what, let's just hop on a video call and talk about this. So rather than letting things get really kind of drawn out in long text conversations, just sort of having the philosophy that, like, let's just do this face to face. And of course, face to face means on a video call, but just make those interactions more human. And I think as an individual, you know, you're not going to set the company's policy around that, but you could easily just start doing that. You know, just start saying, hey, let's just hop on a quick call and talk about this. And I think getting more FaceTime, getting more dialogue will probably help with that kind of isolated feeling. I've talked to other remote companies that just make it a habit of when they sign into Slack for the first time in the morning, they say good morning. And like, that's it. They like put a good morning in there.
Like in the general chat, they'll just put a good morning in there. Or they're saying it to specific people.
I think it would probably depend on the team size. Okay. You know, if you're a 10-person company, then sure, in general.
Cool.
If you're a 2,000-person company, probably not in general.
Yeah, maybe not.
But you might have a channel for your team that it would make sense to do that.
Sure, right? Yeah.
So creating some little kind of rituals like that are a little bit more humanizing than just sort of being all business. And I think even if you're not using Donut, if you're using Slack, there's so many opportunities to make those communications much more rich, you know, emojis and GIFs, and you have channels that everybody can be in. If you're just emailing each other, I think it's a little harder.
Yeah. Is there something, so on that note, like, is there something inherently different when you're talking face-to-face with someone through Zoom or in person versus text, like when you're just like sending messages to someone through Slack? I mean, I guess it feels obvious that when you're seeing someone face-to-face or video, like it's going to be more human, it's easier to develop these relationships versus text. But like, you've probably thought about this a lot more than I have. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's like a really big societal question of like, you know, we all text instead of calling each other now.
Tell us the answer, Dan. Tell us the answer.
So I don't know if I have the divine answer on this question, but I will say I think you get so much more context out of body language and actually seeing someone's facial expression and tone. If you know someone really well and you're texting with them, you can be sarcastic and you know when someone's being sarcastic.
Right.
If you've just joined a new company and it's your first week, boy, there is a lot of space for blurriness there. And you read something that gets said in Slack and it's like, wait, are they being serious? Like, what's the culture? Like, are we relentlessly direct here? Or, you know,
sarcasm is a virtue at this company.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much there. And actually, we haven't talked about onboarding at all, but I think that's actually a huge point in the employee journey. Especially if you're remote for the first time.
Sure. Tell me about that.
That really, really matters. Yeah. I mean, that example I just gave about understanding norms and how things are done here. When an employee starts, there's just so many questions, and it's often, you know, in a traditional office environment, it's like, what's the dress code? What do we wear? Like, you'd be surprised how many companies like just don't say anything. And that's actually like a stressor. It's like, you don't want to stand out on some level. Or like, what's the lunch culture here? Does everybody eat together? Do people bring their lunch? Like, but if you're remote, it's, what's the culture around how we use Slack? Do people just say things in general, or is that kind of like off limits for announcements? Or, you know, what's the tone of how we communicate? You know, when somebody says something, are they mad, or are we just like, is that just our culture that we're direct about? You know, there's so much to learn. And also an important part of onboarding, if you have an office, is obviously meeting people, all of your colleagues.
Right.
And if you're working remotely, you know, obviously you're not
necessarily meeting people. Mm-hmm. So it's like, did I even start this job? I'm still sitting in my living room like I was last week.
Right.
So, you know, I think there's a lot that can go a long way in terms of having pretty rigorous processes set up and workflows set up mm-hmm. so that you're delivering all that information, but you're also not just like a fire hose on their first day.
Sure.
We have a product that helps with onboarding as well. So, you know, we work with a lot of companies pretty closely on this problem. And one of the things that lots of folks do that I think, again, becomes more important earlier in a company's life cycle, if you're remote, is setting up things like a new hire buddy program or mentorship programs. Mm-hmm. So that when a new hire starts, if you're remote, your manager might be in a different time zone than you.
Nice.
You know, you might have 3 hours of overlap and you've got all these questions about like, wait, how do we do this? How do we do that? So we've seen a lot of companies rely on a buddy system where now the new hire has more than one person to go to. And actually sometimes it's even easier to ask the, you know, quote, stupid questions.
Yeah, because you're not threatened because they're not your manager and they're not going to be ultimately reviewing you, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love
so
that.
Having a buddy, especially that's in your same time zone, that's going to be online at the same time, can really allow you to kind of build a bond early on with somebody else. We have other customers that will set up through a donut workflow, automatically introduce a new hire to a different new person each week, or sometimes a different person each day and during their first week only.
Nice.
Just to try to, normally you'd meet a dozen people in the hallway if you joined a company that's co-located.
Right.
But you could easily meet your manager and somebody on the people ops team. And that's it in your first week if you weren't deliberate about connecting with other folks as a remote employee. If you're starting in a new company and you're all co-located, you're likely going to meet, you know, at least a dozen new people during your first week, probably more. If you're a remote employee, if you're not deliberate about it, you could easily, you know, just meet your manager and somebody in the people ops or HR team and like, that's it.
Yep.
So I think finding ways and building in those kind of deliberate touch points where, you know, you're seeing faces and you're seeing faces on a video call and actually getting the opportunity to connect with multiple people.
Love it. Now, have you seen onboarding? We talked about that example of, you know, are we sarcastic in the channel? Do we have that radical candor? Like, do people actually describe like in the onboarding, like, yeah, in general, like we're pretty sarcastic. Like, do they actually go and articulate to that degree or that with that authenticity? Like, there's not many companies or people that would have that self-awareness to say like, oh yeah, we're pretty sarcastic around here. Or maybe there are.
One of the things that we allow you to do during onboarding is basically create a workflow that gets pushed out over the course of multiple days or weeks to new hires in Slack. And that can include introductions, but it can also include information. And I don't think I've seen a customer say we have a sarcastic culture, but definitely seen somebody push out through on day three, push a message to the new hire that says like, hey, we really value radical candor in our organization. Like, here's a link to read more about it.
Nice.
That's pretty valuable information that can easily go unsaid. And it takes you 4 months to figure out and have someone say, oh yeah, you should check out this article. So I do think there's ways to build that in. And I think the companies that I've seen do it really well often link out to other resources. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be sharing company values. That's something that we see is super common. Really, you know, being clear about what the values are and giving some examples of how your organization lives those values. Mm-hmm. You know, some companies have things like, you know, kudos or kind of appreciation systems.
Right.
You know, introducing employees to those and how they're used, all those sorts of things, I think should be incorporated into onboarding so that folks get an understanding of kind of how the culture operates.
Right. So,
but then balancing that with, well, you can't tell somebody everything on day one. You know, there's only so much you can absorb in the first day, in the first week. So then being deliberate about how you really kind of course things out and ramp folks into your culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like some of the onboarding, it's just easier when people are in the office. As you said, you're going to run into people, you know, people are going to have lunch, invite you to lunch. It's going to be easier to meet people where you know, if you're remote, like you just have to be more intentional about it. And that's kind of been the theme that I've seen so far on this call.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in general, people processes break earlier if you're remote. You know, a traditional organization hits breaking points for all these things like, oh, wow, we're not connected. Or, oh, wow, we used to just wing onboarding when somebody showed up. We'd, you know, find them the open desk and like it'd be fine. Oh, wow, now we're hiring 20 people at a time. It broke. But things, in my experience, things break earlier when you're remote. So a lot of the same best practices apply. You just need to kind of start doing them a little earlier.
I love it. Talk about the different size teams or different types of remote teams that exist. You said you had some ideas about, you know, the different challenges that might exist. Presumably on one extreme, you have a team that's all in one office. And on the other extreme, everyone's working from home. And then somewhere in between, you know, you've got one person that works remotely, or you have a hybrid. Like, what are the different kind of stages and maybe some challenges that exist just that people may not even be aware of, even if they're in that particular scenario?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think there's actually a lot of kind of subtlety and nuance around the different arrangements. So I think you got the two extremes right. And on some level, if we just take you're all in one office, okay, we don't have to really think about these problems. So that's kind of the easiest. On some level, going to the other extreme, there's a bunch of challenges, but you're kind of all in it together. You know, the playing field is totally level. There's symmetry for every single person. Mm-hmm. Like part of onboarding is, you know, you give everybody a budget to buy a killer headset with microphone because like you're going to use it all day, every day,
yes.
Right? Like,
yes.
Becomes like part of your culture, right? Like you give everybody a budget to just like deck out their home office and have like two monitors and get an awesome suite desk chair, all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can, if you really go to that extreme, your entire company culture and how you operate is just built around that. Mm-hmm. When you get onboarded as a remote employee, like everything, every detail can feel like, wow, this was thought out for what it's going to be like for me, you know, working from home. Then if you start in between those two extremes of all in one place and all, you know, working from home remote, there's a whole bunch of different kind of hybrid configurations. I think coming in from the all in one office, you get kind of multiple offices. And there's definitely challenges there. We have lots of customers in that configuration where it might be a global company that has, you know, a New York office, a San Francisco office, a Toronto office, a Dublin office. And, you know, there's the challenge of how do we connect these different hubs. Sometimes the culture is a little different in each office. It can be a little different flavor of the company culture. And I think that's an okay thing. Mm-hmm. You'll want to have some common thread and connectivity between all of them. Even within that subgroup, is the engineering team all co-located or not? Or is it sales offices that are all over the world? Or you have other functions that are collaborating across there? But once you zoom in, if you have people collaborating across locations, it doesn't look that different than some of the challenges and running programs to help people meet each other that are on their team that are around the world become super, super important. It just might be that you're, you know, both dialing into meetings from a conference room that's outfitted with nice conferencing equipment. I think what's always hard is to be the lone person that's
right.
That's
remote. You're the first and only remote person in a team of 2,000.
Yeah. So one thing that we haven't actually talked about at all that I do think is important is I do think having a face-to-face in real life get together at some point is a valuable thing. We have customers that have multiple offices, but fly everybody into headquarters for week one onboarding. Not everybody's going to be able to do that, but we do have a bunch of customers that do that. But some of the companies we work with that are fully distributed have a once a year for a week, all fly to the same location.
Right. And there's lots on this, like Zapier and Buffer and Basecamp. You guys are huge proponents of doing this, but tell us the value of that. I mean, it's going to cost a crap ton of money, how does that actually help versus just video chats?
For as good as video chats have gotten, there's still something different about being in real life. Even just if you're in a meeting in real life, when you open the door and you walk out of the meeting and you walk, you know, someone to the elevator to leave or wherever you are, there's some casual chit chat that happens there that when you're on a video call, you push end meeting and it's over. Mm-hmm. Right. So like it's really hard to quantify those interactions, but they build up over time. And I think by getting people in the same place, you have an opportunity to actually facilitate more of those. We've actually had multiple customers who build a custom donut workflow around that event. We had one customer that's well over 1,000 employees where, you know, during their 4-day, we're all co-located, donut made 7-person dinner groups for them.
Whoa.
And prompted them with a question. And I mean, like they could have never done that. I mean, this is like a lot of coordination. It's a lot of groups and matching, you know, mixing up departments and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's can be so impactful to have that in person, more social, casual interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really embracing these subtleties that exist. Yeah. That just happens when people are around each other. And investing in that, which I think is non-obvious for the most part.
Yep. Yeah, yep.
Great. This has been really good, really helpful. Dan, tell us your favorite story of a company using Donut. Maybe the one that's really helpful, like the IBM one, and maybe like the most random story.
Ooh. So helpful, I would have told you the IBM one.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Most random.
It's hard. It's so abstract. Interaction location that you've heard of?
Definitely had seen people seen is because the companies, you know, some companies share their donut selfies with us. Mm-hmm. I've seen people go to museums, seen people go on picnics. I mean, people get pretty creative with where they go out and do their donut. I think, I've got a great one for you. I can actually send you a video of this because the person that did this donut meeting actually documented it.
Love it. And made it. Send it over. I'll put it in the show notes.
Cool. Basically, this person researched, or maybe ahead of time, asked the person that they were going to meet what their interests were.
Oh, boy.
And found out that they had a favorite video game. And then for the donut meeting, this person, super hands-on builder type, they actually built a pen holder, a like custom pen holder in like a workshop with like that video game's character.
This person is committed. Holy Toledo.
He became famous in his company as like the most desirable donut match.
Okay.
He always had something up his sleeve to make memorable and interesting.
And what did the donut partner do?
I mean, they made it together.
I thought you meant like he brought it to the meeting. But that's
No.
Cool.
Oh, the meeting was building it together.
Oh, that's amazing.
He taught her how to like use the machinery and like it was wild.
That's pretty good. I would love to have that title of most desirable donut title. Like that's something I would put on Twitter. It's like
Yeah.
Wow. Dan, this has been great. Lots of insight, lots of fun. Thanks for coming on the show.
Cool. Thank you so much for having me. Happy to do it anytime.
Yeah, brilliant. So guys, I recommend you check out Donut if you haven't already. Talked a lot about the tool itself, but of course, you know, you can set up a lot of these processes manually, Google Drive, Google Docs, Zapier, Slack, you can do lots of magic there. But take a look, even if you just like the premise, you guys, I think, have a whole bunch of information as to, you know, why this makes sense and some really great stories around it. So cool. Any final thoughts?
I don't think so.
That sounds great. All right. Until next time, this is Building Remote Teams. We'll see you around, everyone. Bye for now.
Hey, listeners, we're really trying to get the message out about how remote teams can be so awesome. If you found this podcast helpful, would you take 60 seconds to leave us a review in iTunes? It helps us rank to have more people learn about this show, and it helps us know which content is the most helpful. As a thank you, I'll try to read every review on the show and give you a shout out. Thanks a lot!